Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
First of all, I would just like to thank the fans for coming out. 50,248. What an amazing turnout and support of this football team. Unfortunately, we couldn't bring home the win. That was a heck of a football team we played. And when you look at the numbers, they beat us extremely thoroughly. They haven't lost in a long time, 2017, I believe, and you can figure out why. Complete win on their part. We do feel like we have an opportunity to continue to grow as a football team. And even though as bad as it may look, I feel like that we're going to be, when it's all said and done, that we're going to be one of the teams that people are going to talk about in 2019. You know, we're going to grow as a team. We're going to grow at certain positions and certain things. We have to correct our mistakes. And once we correct our mistakes, we can move on. And then there's going to come to a point where we have a foundation. And once we have a foundation, we can build upon it. You know, I don't think it's all on the offensive line. I can tell you right now, there was two sacks on someone else, and I'm not going to say the name. And that person wasn't in the offensive line at all. So, again, it's not a simple offense. It's a complex offense. And everybody has to do their part. And it only takes one guy to break down offensively for something bad to happen. And then you want to pin it on one group of individuals. And that's really not the case. And it's a big difference between an 18-year-old guy and a 21-year-old guy are two different animals. And they're going against some big, strong cats in there. As as we move along, and somewhere, like I said, between game 4 and 6, those guys will settle down. And then once they do, you have them for a long time. And there's some young cats out there, except for the one side. There's some young cats. We're going to have them for a while. But it's just like the quarterback. We got to let them grow up out there. I'm just sad that we couldn't do more for the community. You know, they wanted the giant upset and all that kind of stuff, and we sure wanted to deliver for them. And the student body was fantastic, the band and the entire city support. So we're disappointed that we couldn't deliver, but our guys will be back. Our guys will be ready to go.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, as always, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there. Join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a voice. Well, at least we're the first. I think I'm just so used to saying that. We're the first. How about that? Anyway. So, welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. Those of you who are, we appreciate it. We are going to go through... we are going to hear from you. You're going to hear from us first. Then we'll hear from you in the fan feedback. In the 41-6 loss to Clemson, lots to say, Joe. Lots to say. We'll get into it
here. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know. So
yeah, that's good. Now we got some instant reactions, and then we got some fan feedback from the socials. So
yeah, and you know, we are going to try as much as we can to open these lines up. I got a couple of Facebook posts. I got an email. And maybe a DM, I think, on the phone line situation. We're going to try to keep it consistent so you guys know when it's coming. You know, we're going to generally try to do this within a half hour after the game ends. Something
yeah, like we still got some kinks to work out.
We got a couple kinks to work out, and,
you know. We're doing the best we can.
Yeah, like only one caller can call at a time. Otherwise, multiple callers can happen. But when it happens, you get stepped on. People get stepped on.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, so if you're one of the callers that got stepped on by another caller, we apologize. We got to figure it out, and we will. But hey, first, before we start talking about all that stuff, we're gonna start off with a little MyBookie. Okay, we'll talk about the good folks over at MyBookie. Now, if you have been picking games and picking winners without putting the money down, you might want to think about heading over to MyBookie, where right now they are doubling your first deposit. And, you know, if you know what you're getting into with the whole online betting thing, and you know what to expect, and you know it's you enjoy it, then go ahead. If you don't know what it's about, you know, do a little bit of research. Maybe it's not for everybody, so just check it out. But one thing is for sure, I wouldn't be telling you about them if I didn't use them myself. I think they're the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet on football this season, bet with MyBookie. And here's something, a little monkey wrench thrown in the gears. You could also switch your bet after kickoff. If by the second half your bet looks like it might lose, you can always flip it to the other side. So if you're the kind of guy or gal also that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try the parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now, as I mentioned, and MyBookie will double that first deposit. Use the promo code CHAIR to activate that offer. That's promo code CHAIR, CHAIR. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. All right, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, it was 17-6 at the half. It looked great. The growing pains of a young offense, I think, were on full display against the number one team in the nation. I mean, it's expected. The offensive line woes were expected, as I thought. I mean, look, we got the smartest listeners in Cuse Nation. So I think everybody, I don't think anybody was really too surprised by some of the stuff that happened. I mean, the Orange ran the ball 42 times, and they totaled 15 yards altogether. DeVito was sacked 8 times. And, you know, Joe, most of the time when he dropped back, I mean, it was open season for the Tigers.
Yeah.
He was on the run constantly. He has been sacked 14 times in the first 3 games this season. He finished the game against Clemson 15 for 27 for 172 yards, 0 touchdowns and an interception. The defense, I think, rebounded well from the Maryland game. And, you know, it doesn't look like it on paper even, but, I mean, they gave the offense 2 very good opportunities inside the 10-yard line while the game was still close.
Yeah. And well, that was it, man. When you play teams like, I mean, the toughest thing about Clemson is that it's not like they just score really, really fast. So,
yes. Precision,
you know, if you're going to go 3 and out, or, you know, we're going to go in 5-6 plays and it's going to be less than a minute or 2 minutes, they're going to get the ball. I think their longest touchdown drive yesterday was 3 minutes, 13 seconds. So, and then your offense is going to be right back out there. And if you keep going 3 and out, 3 and out, that was the problem in the first half. And I was worried about that, especially the first quarter, because it just looked like it was going to get ugly. And our defense stepped up and we started, you know, moving the ball a little bit. We got a couple field goals, you know, stayed on the field so that our defense could get some rest. And then, you know, get to halftime and we spoke, and obviously you'd like to be ahead or whatever, but it could have been a lot worse after that first quarter, and we were still in striking distance. And then, you know, what happened was you were given an opportunity on a silver platter to get right back in the game and make the number one team in the country a little nervous when you get an interception, run it down into the red zone.
Yeah, 41 just yards for your, like that, right?
for your first, the very next play, DeVito throws an interception, which Aaron passed, mistake. He's on the run all day. So,
what do you say? What do you stop right there? What do you say about the social media mob talking about, you know, DeVito sucks and he's terrible. Let's put in Clayton Welch. Let's put in Rex Culpepper. What do you think?
Like I said, I mean, I think it comes down to just to eyes. And I think sometimes it's a little bit different when you're watching the game and at home compared to being live. I did talk to some people that I knew and they're really upset about it. And I 2 weeks in a row now where people that have actually been at the game live have sat there and talked about DeVito. But when you get to watch replays and you get to actually see the breakdown of the offensive line, most people aren't watching the offensive line and how they block the defensive line when you're watching the play. You're watching the ball. You're watching the quarterback. When you watch it on TV, you can see. You can see that they're doing different things. They're blitzing them, and you can see when the offensive line makes mistakes. And there is no quarterback fix until that line gets fixed. I don't think it's fair to judge any quarterback based upon the way that offensive line is playing right now.
DeVito, just really patient with those guys right now, I think, to say the least.
You don't have a choice.
What are you going to do?
Get
but
on
it's... Your,
get on the hog molly's bad side, and then it's open season. Those guys got to be on... They got a beef there for you, you know?
Sure. I mean, it's kind of close to open season now. I mean, he's on the run, constantly on the run.
Right, but a lot of those times when you watch it on TV, you can see that they're just miscommunications. They're just not making the right pickups, the right calls. You can see it.
Yeah, and it takes one guy. We heard Coach Babers. It takes one guy.
It takes one guy to be out of place or do the wrong thing on a play and for that to be just bad. Tommy DeVito is on the run all day, and to be perfectly honest with you, it would look the same if Clayton Welch, if Rex Culpepper, hell, if Eric Dungy got out of the stands last night and went and put pads on and came out of the damn locker room at halftime, it still would have looked the same way. So,
yeah, it would
and
be
you got to be able to put up drives. You know, like I said, we got an interception, got it down into the red zone, had an opportunity. Then, what, a couple plays later, they have a 90 or whatever yard touchdown on the sideline where that guy may or may not have stepped out of bounds.
What do you think? Let's stop right there because I was going to bring this up. I got this on my notes. Look to me. So I guess the controversy is that part of the white line was missing, and because it was green, it doesn't count. Was his heel up? Was that part of it?
When it's that close, I guess their whole thing is as long as you can see green all the way around, then they're not going to call it out, and that's really what it is. Now, if it has to do with the way that the line was painted or whatever, I mean, it's
tough,
home field,
though.
So hey, we got to eat.
You got to fix that.
That's our, it's our fault,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I think we got to get some people on that that field crew.
Someone needs some
talking
spray
to.
Paint. Yeah. Someone needs some spray paint,
but. Either way, you get a big play like that, then you get the ball back, and then we get another interception, you know, where it looks like we're down and out again at 24-6. You get that other interception where you go down and fourth and one, you get four plays to crack it in, can't do it. And when Trey Williams had it, I was almost like, if he doesn't score this, I don't know if we're going to get any, you know, and again, that happens. So you can only put so much on your defense for so long, especially when you're playing against the number one team. That's the one thing that people don't understand. We don't have the depth. We have the same amount of scholarships. We don't have the depth. So when you're playing fast paced like that and your defense is on the field so long early,
well, they just get worn down, man, by the end of
exactly,
the game.
Exactly. And then when a defense actually realizes, okay, they scored 6 points in three quarters, and now they're up to 24. You know, you start losing, you know, you're tired, and you start losing that faith as a defense. And I think that's happened now 2 weeks in a row. And it's just unfortunate because it seems to me like right now, until those offensive line problems get shored up, anybody with a decent defense is going to give us problems.
Yeah.
And then our defense is only going to be able to keep us in the game for so long.
The offense has to sustain drives and they have to score points. It's demoralizing for a defense to be out there doing what they're doing for three quarters of the game and you're not getting the points and you feel like you've been on the field the whole time. So, I mean.
Yeah. Well, and you got to establish a running game. And there were some times there where it was pass, and then three and out.
Yeah,
I thought we had a couple drives
where
we ran a lot.
From the 3 yard line. I mean, you got four runs from the 3 yard line. That may be.
I'm not talking. I'm just talking overall in just
right,
you
know.
In series, establishing a run and allowing your defense to rest, getting some first downs, getting the defense on their heels, like getting their defense tired, and that all goes into it. So, but it's just demoralizing when we did have a good run. You know, Moneal or Abdul Adams had a couple of good runs where they get 4 or 5 yards, second and five, and then DeVito gets sacked, and we're back to 3rd and 9, and it's just demoralizing. It was tough, and it was obvious that our offensive line is not ready, definitely not ready to handle Clemson. Right now, it don't look like it's ready to handle a Power 5 defense, so I guess next week against Western Michigan, we're going to find out.
Yeah, Western Michigan had 7 rushing touchdowns in their last game, so this past weekend. So.
I saw that.
You know, I mentioned that the defense visually did their job, but on paper it was a little different. You wouldn't know by looking at just on paper because both teams ran 71 plays with Clemson racking up 612 yards in the orange on the same, you know, on 71 plays racked up 187 yards. So I mean, that's a huge, huge difference.
Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, our defense, they did give up big plays, and that's what's going to happen when you play against Clemson. That's why you have to score with them. That's why we knew we needed to score points with them. But, you know, if we keep this game close and actually sustain drives, then they don't score 41 points, and then you can get it a little bit reasonable. And that's realistically what we had to do, and we had to take advantage of those situations. I think our defense, although we didn't get a sack, I think we bottled up, you know,
popped him a couple times, though.
Oh, well, I think we bottled up ATN really well, and then, you know, again, it did allow for some situations where the receivers had some big plays downfield, but, I mean, we got to him to make him make some mistakes. He had to make throws quick. We did, you know, put pressure on Trevor Lawrence to have to make him make quick decisions, and I think that's where sometimes he made some mistakes, but like I said, they kept us in the game. They played good enough to allow our offense, you know, our team to have a situation to come back and get back in that game. And they just did not take advantage of it. But again, that's what makes Clemson Clemson. I mean, we have to realize Clemson is number one for a reason.
Yeah. I mean, they're,
I mean, at minimum, they're probably going to play in the national championship or, you know, you can say make the college football, you know, so.
Yeah, at the very minimum, I guess they make
this
playoffs,
isn't every
right?
team.
Right. No, absolutely. So, and by the way, it doesn't get any easier next year playing Clemson. I mean, you've got, according to 247 Sports, Clemson has the number one rated recruiting class for 2020. And 13 of the 20 verbal commits are rated among the top 10 players nationally in their respective positions. So, That's what
those type of teams do.
Yeah.
We're not there.
No, we're not
there.
No, like, right. And Dabo's got it. You got to hand it to the team. Well, you got to hand it to Dabo for what he's building over there at Clemson. And
what he's built. I think he's, he's there.
Yeah, it's built. Yeah,
he's just right. He's making
additions.
He's
adding to it. Yeah, he's expanding it. Yeah. So, but you know, Syracuse, two takeaways, two interceptions, and that'll keep the streak alive for the 17th straight game. It's the third longest active streak in Division I football. So, I mean, if you got
to
take
what did we talk about? We talked about wanting it to be competitive, especially going into halftime. And then what I said, I just wanted them to have a chance to win going into the fourth quarter. And I didn't necessarily get my wish But
if ifs and buts are candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. But they capitalize on those two turnovers inside the red zone, and we've got ourselves.
And
a game.
We probably do, absolutely. So you have to capitalize when you play number one. And sometimes when you play number one, they don't even give you that. They don't even show you that. You don't even get that chance. And we had that chance. I
have to just echo the sentiments of Dino when he said, you know, he just hated it for all of us. The fans watching, for all of you who showed up there and made that the third largest crowd in history, and they wanted to deliver. And I think, you know, I think his heart's in the right place there by saying, you know, he just hates it for all of you and all of us as fans. And, you know, it's number one. They're number one for a reason. Okay. We're and like Joe said, we're not there, but, how about Hoffrichter, though? How about Hoffrichter, though?
Hoffrichter?
Yeah. I mean, he's a stud, right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He had six punts for at least 50 yards, a long of 65. He averaged 52.2. Three of the nine punts ended up inside the 20-yard line. And five resulted in fair catches, and only two were returned. So...
and he had a tackle that looked like he almost saved the kickoff return.
Yeah, and they totaled on kickoffs, they totaled 3 yards on kickoff returns. So, or on, you know, punt returns. So, anyways, hats off to him. Hey, you got to give, I mean, we're giving a punter a shout out because it needs to be done. I guess that's what we take away from this. I don't know what to say.
Man, special teams or not, I'm just saying, I would love a game where we didn't have to punt, but...
But you know, we got a stud.
Every team needs one, and if you're gonna have something, you might as well have a good one.
You
right?
want one like that, exactly. So, do you want to do a little bit of social media and then take some calls? You got anything to add?
Yeah. We can hit that up.
All right, let's do it.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the Loud House, the best damn college sports fans in the nation.
That's right, showing up, over 50,000 of you, showing up, packing the dome.
Oh, yeah.
It's time to hear from you. Now, we're going to do all that, but I've got to talk to you about Blue Chew. Time to hear from the good folks over at Blue Chew. Now, 75% of our audience is males, and the other 25% are probably cringing right now. But if you want to increase your performance and get the extra confidence in bed, this is the deal for you. BlueChew.com. It's blue like the color. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works. You can take them anytime, day or night, on a full or empty stomach, and since they're chewable, and they work twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. If you could benefit from extra function and more confidence when it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Most guys talk a good game, but Blue Chew helps you follow through. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, none of that awkwardness like me reading this ad. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than the pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code ARMCHAIR. Just pay the $5 shipping at 6 pills for $5. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR to try it for free. Blue Chew is better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for supporting the podcast. Remember, they promise no guaranteed results. And this does not cure any disease, folks. Okay? Don't be silly. Right now, go to MyBookie. They will double your deposit, your first deposit. Use the promo code CHAIR to activate that offer. That's promo code CHAIR, C-H-A-I-R. Visit MyBookie.ag today. Get your first deposit doubled. Buy them, on them. You play, you win, you get paid. All right. So, let's start with some social media doings. See what I got. So, we're going to take calls, so we'll just do a couple of these. You know what? I wanted to do more than this, but let's start with this. I said that we'd do the one with the most likes. That one automatically gets in, right? Well, the one with the most likes I retweeted, so I'm not sure if it's fair. So, we're going to do this one. At Jason R. Money. Missed opportunities inside the red zone, sloppy tackling, dumb penalties. We had a shot to keep the game close, but didn't capitalize. Joe, we just talked about it. Dumb penalties, yep. Too, right? I mean, just some untimely, might be a good word, too, for that,
yes.
With the penalties. So,
yes.
It is what it is. At the big E underscore 228, he said, I said, 51-13 Clemson. I was close. So many missed opportunities. DeVito just isn't ready. Hopefully Holy Cross and Directional Michigan, I like that, will be good confidence builders. So, yeah, we got Directional Michigan coming up.
Directional Michigan. They're not a bad team.
No, so. They're not a bad team. And
the Mac beats Power 5 teams all the time if you sleep on them. So.
Yeah. And, you know, it's something to...
Tim Lester coming back to the Dome.
And I mean...
We beat them last year, so...
And it wasn't,
yeah.
You know... Well,
I just don't know, man. Like I said, I mean, there was... And we were part of that last year, too. But this was the guy that we were all saying, put him in over Dungy. And now it's like, you know, and it's like... At any sign of anything going bad, all of a sudden it's blame quarterback, insert next guy here when we have no idea.
Isn't that the train of thought for a fan, though? I mean, most of the time.
But there's reasons. Like, if you have an awful offensive line, it doesn't matter who you put back there.
Absolutely. But see, here's the difference when you look at that. Just to play devil's advocate, this is not.
Oh,
just,
yeah, 100%.
I'm just saying.
I do it all the time.
Here's the difference. Dungy could make more out of those plays, obviously. I think that would be the point of that. I mean, we brought it up earlier, and that he would be on the run. Absolutely, he would be on the run, but he would make things. I think his ability to make things happen, obviously, Tommy's not there yet to have that ability. And, you know, you got.
It's sometimes you need. Again, he's a pro style quarterback. He wants to sit in the pocket, protect it, and make these throws. And he can't do that.
That's his style.
His style. It's not Dungy first read or things break down. Now just go ad lib. And, you know, there's.
See a hole.
And there's.
I mean, Dungy would just see a hole and go.
You see quarterbacks like that all the time. I mean, how many quarterbacks do you see all the time that are like that, that go to the NFL or get drafted and try to get converted over to another position? You know, when you're in college football, you know, that dual threat, you can be a good football player in college football, but a lot of times it doesn't really work out in the NFL, or they try to switch positions or something like that. So it can help, but Tommy DeVito is not that guy. So this kind of line, or maybe what we were last year, maybe, you know, Dungy made them look a lot better than what they could have been. But again, we lost three guys as well.
Yeah, I know. So. There was someone on Facebook, Mark from Facebook. He said on another post, unrelated, but to what you said, is that basically, paraphrasing here, is that Dungy's play hit a lot of the sins that are being exposed now.
Right.
And that's your difference. So we're
right. And now you have a guy that's a pro style quarterback that's not his game, and we don't have that line to protect him.
Right.
Not against the talent of the last two teams that we've played. That's for sure. Now I've seen growth, and I feel like he's played better the last two games than he did in Liberty, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Well, I mean, again, against Clemson, it's tough. But again, you look at that line and what happened and how much he was on the run. And I know everyone wants to get mad at him for throwing that interception on that one play, because we just got that interception and we could have been in the game. But another quarterback or a lesser quarterback in that position could have made a lot more mistakes than he did.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot more interceptions, a lot more. Who knows?
There was a lot of times where I was like, okay. He got out of there. He's staying calm.
He's a poised player. That. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'd love to see that with him in there and just standing in the pocket and confident and having faith in his offense to see what he can do.
Yeah. So at Mackey_62, anyone have a number for runs up the middle? What happened to Orange is the New Fast? Did we get more yards from DBs or wide receivers?
That's
obviously sarcastic. Does the ACC review questionable officiating calls? Just played our toughest game of the year. It'll get better. So, I mean, I don't mind the snarks and sarcasm when you top it off.
That's the immediate just reaction frustration stuff.
Yeah,
so that's great.
The offense, Joe, you know, that fast-paced offense, did you feel like it slowed down? Was it slowed down on purpose? I mean,
if it's not working, there's no reason to go fast.
Right.
Exactly. Especially when you're playing against Clemson, you're just
you're rushing to give Clemson the ball again. exactly. So, and like Dino, if you listen to the whole press conference, Dino kind of he touches on that in a different aspect. Is everything is situational. And he talks about why he went for those field goals in the first half, because, look, it's the first half. You're just trying to put points up. You're keeping it close. Who knows? At the end of the day, it could have been one of those field goals that won it.
We can't even figure out offensive line calls using the full 35 seconds. So why are we going to rush
exactly.
our line any faster? So, I mean, at the end of the day, though, obviously, our competition has stepped up, and now we play Clemson. I mean, you got to give your hat to Clemson and in that quarter, or the defensive coordinator there, Venable, they hid their blitzes very, very well. And I think he knew that there is still a lack of good communication on that line. And I mean, that's what you saw replay after replay when you saw, you know, just those guys coming in, not getting blocked. That's just him fooling the offensive line. And he's got the players and the coaching ability to do that very, very well. So when you got future NFL players out there, and they know how to basically save their blitz, and you don't know where they're going until the end, or, you know, right when he's about to, when the ball snapped, you know. I mean, you see it with us. When we blitz, a lot of times they'll kind of tip it off somehow, or you know we'll see some guys tip it off to try to get a little bit closer. This Clemson didn't do that. They were very good with their schemes, and I really, really think that after tape and after going through that as a player, I think that's going to be a huge, huge learning. Like, hopefully this is the game that, you know, the offensive lineman gets in there and they see the tape and it just clicks. And well, it's probably going to be their toughest match.
Exactly.
Anyway.
That's what I was just going to say. This is I mean, not that it gets easy at all, but it gets easier after this, and to hone in the skill, like Baber said, week 4 to 6, something like that. Then we got a bye. You know, you get that extra practice in without having to play a game, and then right. You come back. We're playing a primetime game against NC State. But he expects, you know, his timeline's right around then when everything's settling in. So
well, and last year that's what happened. Last year we hit a point in the season where, as fans and I think as coaches, they kind of knew what the team was. They knew you knew what you were going to get, and there was a point where we were confident in what we were going to get. And I just don't think this is not like the end product of this season. There's a lot of changes and a lot of things that they got to figure out.
It's the toughest part of the season. This was the two toughest games possibly on the schedule.
These first three games, depending on it was going to show us where we were after what we lost last year, and now it's building upon that and getting into the next half of our season or part of our season, I should say, because the next two games are basically figuring out what we've learned the last three games and our toughest opponent, and now fixing it, implementing it, going, you know, to the dome and winning these games in a good fashion, and getting back to 3-2 and getting faith back in the community and the fans before we go on to the rest of the ACC play. And then from there, the sky's the limit as far as finishing off. I mean,
right.
Just got to hope that's what it is. But at some point, excuses got to go, or it's going to be time to just say that this team is what it is. And I don't think we're there yet.
Well, I think it was a little overhyped. I think.
Oh, you think? I think we all know now.
I think we knew after Liberty.
Well, then the sad thing is that they can all get their crap together and we can still go and...
Yeah,
I mean,
it's fine.
I know that
it's
people
fine.
Don't think
it's,
about it, but you could still go 10-2 and everyone would be like, see, I told you. People today that are like, oh, man, we're 6-6, 7-5.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're like...
End of the year, you go 10-2 and they're like, I called it.
Yeah,
like,
the
so
sky's
just
falling.
The ebbs and flows of college football and being a fan.
Yeah, the sky's falling right now. We know. Mm-hmm. We know. And it's coming down fast. Timothy on Facebook says, missed opportunities to score touchdowns when we're in the red zone, especially after the INTs. Major issue overall, not protecting DeVito. I picked that obviously as a comment before we really delved into it. So yeah, absolutely. I think we've beaten a dead horse. We're beating a dead horse if we talk about it anymore. Alex says scoring 50 points total through the first 3 weeks isn't going to cut it. Best player was the punter. He had 470 yards punting. Second only to Trevor Lawrence in yardage. Did well in their running back contained him a little bit. Yeah, they did. I think Travis Etienne had like 74 yards rushing. I mean, last year he had like 200.
Yeah.
So
yeah, by far his worst game against us.
Yeah, for a guy who averages 9.2 on the year and 7 overall for his career, absolutely. I'm happy with that. That's okay. But you know, when you stop one thing,
over 5.
When you plug one hole, man. Yeah, I know it is what it is. But you plug one hole, man, and you only got two hands to plug holes, and
yeah,
it's just eventually water's coming in. So.
Well, yeah, and the problem is that Clemson, like you said, gets all these recruits and they just reload. So even when we banged up ATN or he wasn't running that good, they just brought their other guys in. And I don't think ATN was their leading rusher with 76, but they still had like over
270.
But they still had over 220 rushing yards as a team. So
yeah, that's crazy, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, we got crushed in the yardage category, but that's it. Hey, we're gonna take some.
Hey, yeah, hi. Before you get out of it too, give some kudos to Sabo for that pick. It was a nice little pick, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All photo cred should be given, obviously. The flag picture was taken from the stands from a buddy of Joe's. So I think we.
Yeah, appreciate it. I was texting back and forth with him throughout the tailgate and the game and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. We're going to take some calls. And so how this works is the number is 315-314-3112. like I said, we will try to keep it consistent and do it at the end of every game. So Joe got a wild hair up his butt at the end of the game last night, and I was caught a little off guard.
Fired up, man.
He was fired up. I was caught a little off guard. I was enjoying some adult beverages. And so
me too.
If you notice, I mean, I apologize. I'm just giving you
a heads up. We did our best.
I'm just giving you a heads up. This was at midnight. It was almost directly after the game.
Was it midnight?
Dude, we didn't stop.
11:30?
It was 12:30 when I shut this thing down.
Mm.
Yeah.
That was a tough game, man.
Anyways.
There was a lot of hype going into that, man.
Yeah, I know. So these are the pre-recorded fan reactions after we open the phone lines after the game. Again, we want to make this a thing, and it can only be a thing if you guys participate. So we really appreciate everybody who did participate, but we want all the voices. We want all the voices. We don't always want it to have to be the same people. And I love you all. I want you all to be on in the Cuse Militia podcast, the fans' voice. And so we want to kind of make post games for football and basketball into this thing. So
yeah. And like these are conversations too. I mean, don't get intimidated. If you just want to call and ask a question or just say hi, whatever. It doesn't matter to us. But these people, you know, they called right after the game and they were ready to talk about this.
And
so,
so here it is. Cuse Militia Podcast. You're on with Sean and Joe. What's your name and location?
My name is Adam from Syracuse.
Adam, what's up, man? What did you think of the game? You're from Syracuse. Were you at the game?
I was at the game. The crowd was great. I mean, the energy was great. The crowd was great. They definitely showed out. Syracuse definitely showed out tonight. Defense played great. I'm just offensively, the play calling is a little confusing. Obviously, Taj Harris drop on the first drive right there was pretty big. But yeah, the play calling was a little confusing. Bo Neal seemed to have it going. They went to Adams, and it seemed to be very between the tackles. And I was a little confused by what was going on with that.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like when they started to do stuff out of the backfield, they started to really move the ball. But I mean, the play calling, Joe. I was a little. We talked about this at the half. I mean, I was confused by it too, right?
It was off and on. Yep. And like Adam said, defense showed up, and offense has to take advantage of that, and they did. That was the biggest thing. I mean, Taj Harris dropping that ball. Yeah, you want to come out, you want to score first, you want to kind of punch them in the mouth, and they turned around and punched us in the mouth after that. And I think we won the second quarter, and I think we had some momentum going into the half. Then we got that interception, and then, boom, DeVito throws that interception. We got to be able to score off that.
Yeah, I mean, two times bringing the ball in the red zone off of interceptions and, like, 0 points.
Yeah. Yeah, and like what Adam said, they had the running game going, and then they stopped for some reason. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and the crowd was into that running game, too. Mo Neal, I mean, everyone was into that, and it was pounding pretty well. And then, you know, you call that fade route, you know, on the end zone. I mean, our receivers are pretty unproven. That fade route right there when you've been running the ball pretty well. And, you know, DeVito definitely needs to run the ball a little bit more. He had some chances to pull the ball on those RPOs, and he really didn't and left his running backs out to dry on that. And I think he's just got to step up a little bit more. I mean, I know he's young. We're replacing two offensive tackles, but his decision-making's definitely got to be better going forward.
I mean, Adam, so being at the game, did you tailgate? Did you hang out for a little while before the game?
We got there a little late, but the crowd was definitely packed. We got into the dome probably about a half an hour before kickoff, and actually the crowd there was pretty fantastic beforehand, and everyone was definitely enjoying the festivities beforehand.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a football crowd like that?
No, and I've been up there for, you know, I was at the game where Dwight Freeney threw Vic around like a rag doll. I was there for the Miami Hurricane blowout, and I had never seen a crowd like that. The announced crowd was 50,000, so they said it was the third largest crowd in Carrier Dome history. So,
well, that's pretty awesome, man. At least you were a part of that. And then they were loud. They were so loud.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could hear it on TV for sure.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah.
Without a doubt. So, yeah, that was,
you know, that's one thing you wonder being at the game too, how loud it's translating on TV. And you just hope the crowd was showing out like that. So
they were showing out, but they left before the fourth quarter started. So
that is true. It's one of those situations where you can see the team, you know, you're not producing. It's one of those things where if you're moving the ball and you're going to show some glimpse, it was still right there. I mean, it was a 3-score game heading to the fourth quarter. So it was still right there, but to not really show any productivity beforehand, you know, you yeah, it sucks that those fans left early, but it was kind of tough.
I mean, when was about the time when you saw people start filing out and they kind of thought it was over?
Late third quarter, definitely after the back-to-back interceptions, you start to see a few people file out. But after that, you know, we got that quick pick, and then DeVito threw that ball to the corner that fell down that he didn't apparently see come back up.
Yeah, he fell.
People felt filtered out there, and then early fourth quarter, yeah.
We had a couple chances there, man.
We had a couple chances, and here's the thing. All DeVito has to do is throw that ball into the stands, and you live to play another down. And
why does it have to be so close?
I don't understand.
Yeah, we saw that a lot against Liberty, too.
Yes.
Yeah. And Maryland. He had an interception against Maryland. It was kind of similar.
I mean, it was similar. It was very similar. Very, very similar. But this time, the cornerback, he actually fell down and got back up and caught that ball.
Yeah. And I think that's what he saw. But even after that, if you look behind that in the instant replay, and I know, Adam, you probably didn't see this, seen it live, but there was probably the guy behind him would have had the interception. So, I mean, it was just a bad throw overall.
Just throw it out. Throw it into the damn stands.
Throw it into the stands, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Why can't you throw the ball?
I hear you, Mike. Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
But hopefully, you know, better things going forward. You know, 1-2 right now, but, you know, if you finish 8-4 down the stretch, you know, Louisville and Florida State, really the only teams with, you know, roster-wise that should beat you roster-wise. You never know how this team can finish out.
Offensive line needs work,
Q's
too.
Q's Militia Podcast. This is Sean and Joe. You're on with us. State your name and location.
Boys.
What's up?
You guys there?
Yeah, we're
here. It is the Syracuse Water Boy, often imitated and never duplicated.
What's up, Q's Water Boy in the house, bro? Look. Let's go, dude.
Sorry, guys. My voice is a little shot. I had to cut a little bit of a promo in front of 50,000 fans.
Oh, dude, you're the man. Look, you're one of my favorite follows on Twitter, at Q's Water Boy. And look, you were up there. You were giving them hell. I mean, what did you see? The crowd was great tonight, right?
The crowd was good. The student section needs to up their game. Those useless kids, still sick of them in their new ozone. My God, dude. Like, bring some energy, bring some noise. Don't leave around halftime. But dude,
the students
all the credit in the world goes to the defense tonight. Those dudes, after getting boat raced last week, played with heart and soul, like, kept us in the game, crushed it. Just the offensive line, my God, man. No time for DeVito. No time for the running game. Just brutal. Like, I'm so proud of this team, but it just, you know, you're not gonna beat Clemson by not scoring a touchdown. It's just not gonna happen.
And I mean, they had the opportunities, right, bro? Right, Tony? I mean, they had the opportunities, right? They were right there.
Oh yeah, the two turnovers. Oh my God, man, the interception. They couldn't run it back for a score. Like, getting tagged up at three, just brutal. Like, you couldn't do anything on offense. Like, they played with their heart and soul, man. But just, we got to fix that line. We got to fix those issues. Dude, I say this all the time. Accentuate the positives, hide the negatives. DeVito is not Dungy. He can't run around. He can't create. We need to give him time to get through his progressions and his reads so he can throw the ball. He's got a great arm, but he's not Dungy, man. Like, we have to give him the time.
Yeah, it's a totally different feel, right, Joe?
Dude, and there's a couple plays there where you see it, and it's like, considering the line, this guy's playing really, really good. I mean, I would love to see this guy if he actually had time like Dungy did last year. I mean, it's kind of crazy. It really, really is. And I know you really didn't get to see it because you don't get to see the replays, man. But, I mean, sometimes he looks bad when you're looking at him live. But when you look at the replay and you look at the line, and it's like some of these plays he makes, it's ridiculous that he even gets there. So, I mean, kudos to him and the defense. They made the plays, like you said, the interceptions. It was almost like the best chance. You're not going to beat the number one team in the country when your best chance of scoring a touchdown is a pick six off of defense. And
yeah, no, it's, you know, and we had the opportunities. Like, if you're going to beat the number one team, like you said, you have the bullets in the chamber. You got to take your shot and make it. And we just didn't.
Yeah,
we held up with them, and I swear to God, if someone looks to the score, 41-6, and like, oh God, we gave up 41 points. Defense is terrible. Like, get the hell out of here, man. Like, defense played a heart and soul. They left everything on that field. They got gassed.
Too many plays, man. Too many plays. And they did everything they could to set that offense up. I mean, 4 red zone opportunities and 6 points, that's not going to do it against the number one team. And Clemson made enough – they made enough mistakes for us to win.
Yes.
And we didn't take advantage of it. And we didn't take advantage of it. And when you play the number one team, you have to be perfect. And they weren't, and they made enough mistakes for us to win, and we did not take advantage. And the crowd was there.
Yeah.
And then it's just one of those things where I think a lot of people probably didn't think that we had it in there. And I think, Tony, like what you said, like at some point the defense has done so much and been out there so long that, you know, and they know they're not going to win to where, you know, like you said, you see 41-6, but it was a lot closer than what that score says.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I always try to look at the positive and everything. 50,000 people came out. The dome was rocking. A good time. Amazing tailgates. I'll tell you guys a quick, fun personal story. I got to tailgate with Sean Riley's father and with the Cuse Yourself group. One of the funniest guys, most awesome, genuine people I've ever met in my life. Talking about his son. He's like, yo, man. He's like, when I'm out there and my kid, he does a great play, scores a touchdown. That's my boy. I'm proud of you, son. Go get him. Yo, when he screws up, yo, I don't know that kid. I have no idea who that is. Never seen him before in my life. Just the most stand-up, genuine dude, man. Like, I love it. Just good people, good times. I mean, regroup. Awesome. We'll get back next week. Gonna hit up Burned Air, get some ice cream, and eat my feelings. But love you guys as always. You know,
absolutely, bro.
We'll keep at it, and we'll get back to it next week.
At Cuse Waterboy on Twitter. Thanks, Tony, dude. We appreciate it, dude. You're one of my favorites, bro. I love you. You take care, and when we come home for a home game, you will know. And we will get up.
Oh, we'll get together. Absolutely. Love you, boys.
All right, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Take care, man.
Bye. Have a good one, guys.
Later. Welcome to the Cuse Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. State your name and location.
Hey, boys. It's Joe Passick calling you from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, you sound tired, Joe.
Yeah. I'm a little deflated after that game.
I like the orange D.
Well, all right. Exactly. Look, so here's the deal. I mean, we had our shots. We had the field position, and we kind of blew it, or what?
God, I texted Joe this earlier that I love Tommy and his footwork. He looks great. But when he gets outside the pocket, he's got to get rid of the football.
Well, he's always outside the pocket. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But he's got to throw the ball away. Throw it into the stands, out of the stadium. I don't care where he throws it. As long as he throws it to somebody other than the other team, don't take the sack.
Yeah, as long as it's
all he's doing.
Farther than the line of scrimmage and above everybody's head, we should be good.
Exactly. He's trying to make these throws that, you know, it's like he's looking for the perfect throw because he knows he's got the arm strength. But, he's holding on to the ball way too long. Against a team like Clemson, you're going to pay the price for that. You're not going to be able to outrun those linebackers and DNs all night long. It's just not going to happen. But like you said, the offense just didn't do anything tonight. It was Swiss cheese.
Oh, gosh.
And
it was brutal.
You know, eight sacks, and he got hit a couple more times. And, you know, like you said, he's running around. It was a disaster on offense.
How about four
red zone trips, 2 field goals? Come on, you gotta punch the ball in at least one of those times.
How about DeVito's poise, though, as he was getting clobbered play after play after play, having to roll out of the pocket play after play after play? You never saw him get frustrated. He kept his poise, and it's just the matter of, you know, kind of the offensive line struggles. I think that's what it comes down to. But
It could be way worse. Yeah. I mean, let's think about
it. It could always be worse.
The little mistakes that he makes is like throwing the ball away. Like, you see some of the things that he escaped tonight and some of the plays that he did make. I mean, you can see potential, and you saw what he did last year with the offensive line that Dungy played with in the games that he played,
That's what I was telling you earlier, Joe. His footwork is great and be able to like step up in the pocket and slide to the left or the right and avoid the rush.
Right.
But, you know, there's only so long that you can avoid that rush.
Right.
And, you know, like we said, the O-line was Swiss cheese tonight. We couldn't get the run game going. And then we blew it in the red zone. And the mistakes that Tommy made, the interception and, you know, things like that, they capitalized on.
Yep.
We didn't capitalize on anything that, you know, because the defense did not play poorly. The final score is going to look awful.
Yeah.
But the final score is not anywhere near as bad as, you know, the disparity that the game actually was.
Oh, yeah. We just talked about that with the last guest that we had. Yeah. And I said the same thing. And it was like they made enough mistakes and we capitalized as far as the defense to actually win that game. But as far as an offense goes, you have to be – I mean, four trips in the red zone, 6 points. That's not going to do it. That's not going to do it.
No, and Herb Street even said it on the broadcast that they called that play action one play too late.
Yep.
If they called that on second down, Tommy walks in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely right. And but they ran the ball four times in that series, too, in first and goal.
Yep.
So, I mean, why don't you throw at least one of those? I mean, some of the play calling was questionable, and that series in particular was probably the most frustrating, I think, because you're right there.
And and you know, I mean, you saw the only times that they were able to move the ball down the field was short throws, get the ball out quick.
Out of the backfield.
Screen passes.
Yeah,
exactly. And
well, I mean, I did like that.
Especially down in the red zone.
Right. And I don't understand that because you finished the half.
That was
you go down and score a touchdown with Mo Neal out of the backfield, and you start the half with Abdul Adams in there, and you really don't do too much. I think you started out with two passes in a row, and it was just, you know, sometimes the play calling to me just doesn't really make too much sense, but at the end of the day, you have to see the silver lining and just hope that they can just get it done.
I don't know if there's a ton of silver lining in this game, though, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, it's Clemson. Really it's number one. So, I mean, I
get it, but what's the silver lining, Joe? Give me the silver lining.
Well, the silver lining is that this guy's going to only get better. All it comes down to is continuity.
I can say that every game you could only get better.
We're not gonna play a team as good as Clemson all year.
Have you
seen the ACC talent? Did you see these losses the past couple of days? I mean, can we talk about this?
Hey, I got you on you're talking silver linings. I'll give you the opposite of a silver lining. Temple beat Maryland today. That doesn't make Syracuse
that
better at all. That, yeah, you're right.
You know what? No one wants to be ranked 21st right now either.
I know. I feel bad for whoever's there next week.
Because it ain't going to be Maryland.
Nope. That's not Temple.
Yeah, right.
My silver lining is you have two more non-conference winnable, very winnable games. Should be winnable games.
Holy Cross? Should be W's. I hope so.
It's Western Michigan, then Holy Cross.
Yeah.
And then it's a bye game. It's a bye week. And then it's at NC State on a Thursday night. So that's your game right there.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
They need a bounce back. And I think Western Michigan, fingers crossed, is just what the doctor ordered.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, I hope that everything turns around. And like I said, there's they show some promise. Tommy looks good. And the defense actually, like we were saying earlier, the defense actually played well. They made a couple of bad plays, and against a team like Clemson, you're going to pay for that kind of stuff.
Joe P, thanks, bro.
Yo,
I appreciate it, man. We appreciate everything, and I know
Joe
tells you all the time, but
I appreciate you guys, and you know, love the podcast. Keep up the good work, and you know, hopefully, I see you at the Duke game, Sean. Joe, I know I'll see you there. But
yes, sir.
All right, boys. You take care.
Later, Joe.
Good night, man.
So that is your immediate fan reaction after the show, and we appreciate everybody calling in. And look at Cuse Waterboy on Twitter. I was waiting for that one. I was waiting for it. I didn't know when it was going to happen.
Pleasant surprise.
Yes, I was surprised. And you know, he's a character. He's a character.
Yeah. Well, I like it. Like, it was some good conversation. I know you shortened it a little bit, so
I had to shorten.
There were some parts we had to edit. Definitely,
I shortened every single one of those conversations. Is shorted a little bit by minutes,
and I'm sure there was some slurring of the words or some swearing and some stuff that we had to.
reason, I'll just say that. Okay,
yes, for very good
reason. I wasn't expecting it. It was a pleasant surprise that Joe was even up for it. I usually have to twist his freaking arm to do this type of stuff. So,
hey man,
I mean,
like
it worked out. I want to do it all the time. I think it's great. I hope that you all enjoy it. and we want to get you on. To everybody who I responded to today on Facebook and Twitter about getting on, just y'all know the deal, man. Just call in. That's all it is. It's all calling in, and if you say something stupid or whatever, you know, hey, we got the edit machine. So anyway,
Dude, hey, Orange fans, the sky is not falling.
The sky is not falling. We're good to go.
This was probably expected and probably overdue considering what happened last 2 years with Clemson-Syracuse matchup. So
I just think that we all, including me, I'm just going to say, you know, we just wanted it close, right, Joe? So when you get stopped.
Yeah, we were there, though. And the opportunity was there, and we know that our deficiencies are on offense, and that's what happened. We got in those situations, and our offense, they're not ready against that type of team to step up to the plate and make and, you know, answer those calls. But that doesn't mean that they can't be by the end of the year, maybe not to Clemson level, but like we talked about, that's college football playoffs level. Like, we weren't there. And yeah, we played Clemson close the last 2 years, but we not had to knock out the starting quarterbacks to do it. So we finally got to see what it was like to go against the starting quarterback for Clemson for a full game. And he's probably going to be a future number one draft pick, and they just reload and reload. So we realistically, I mean, percentage wise, we weren't going to make the college football playoff. We weren't going to beat Clemson and go to the ACC championship game. I mean, we're just not there yet. But compared to the other, you look at goals, we can still make the Orange Bowl. Clemson goes to the college football playoff. Second best team.
Yeah, we can still make
it. And the ACC goes to the Orange Bowl. And if anybody's been watching, every other team but Clemson in the ACC, I mean, they're up and down. They don't look too great.
UVA's got 3 wins.
Virginia, yes. I mean, Virginia is the leader over there. But, I mean, you know, there's a lot of other people. So at the end of the day.
But we picked, we assumed it was Virginia Clemson ACC championship. Yeah.
Right. And at the end of the day, I think us is like where we know we're at right now as a school. We're not, we don't have the depth like Clemson. So we're shooting for number two. You know, you don't want to be behind Clemson every single time, but you got to get to right behind them, you know. And if we can make it to where we're right there every single year, then maybe we can get somewhere. But that goal is still there. The goal of winning 10 games, matching last year, I mean, we could still do that. But right now, we're not a finished product. And there's a lot of, you know, how Coach Babers like to say, there's a lot of meat left in a bone out in that game. But you can see the effort. You can see the talent. It's just they got to put it all together. And like I said earlier, they're not where they're going to be as far as end product. They're still growing someday, it's not going to be able to be an excuse for the O-line and DeVito and all these other things. But right now, that's just – it is what it is. And we just got to do what we have to do the next 2 games and get back to where – you know, get this train back right.
That's right. So, anyway, didn't get to hear the – speaking of which, we didn't get to hear the dome horn, which is something I miss the sound of. And I didn't even think about that until you said ride the train on the track. So anyway, we're done wasting your time. I think we're starting to get to the rambling stage. But sorry, Joe. Just playing.
No, you're good.
I appreciate everybody for listening. Thank you to Blue Chew. Thank you to MyBookie. Thank you to Joe P. Thank you to Adam. Thank you to Q's Waterboy. Thank you to all of you who responded on Facebook and Twitter. We love you guys, man. We appreciate it. Enough can't be said. We'd be nothing without the Cuse Militia. You guys are the Cuse Militia. You know it. So, for Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Cuse Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.